In this episode, I get to speak with the amazing Lisa Lang. She was a paralegal prior to becoming an attorney and shares the importance of communication between the paralegal and the attorney. I cannot stress this enough, guys. The relationship between an attorney and a paralegal need to be consistent and on the same page. If not, the case and the client will suffer the consequences. Listen in for more.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Let's Talk Paralegal podcast. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on this podcast. And what I love about this season, it's a little different from season one. You know, we're going to really start talking about things outside the box, things that we may not think about on a day-to-day basis or that we're going through, but all of a sudden we're just not talking about it. Like, everybody knows it's happening, but nobody really talks about it. So we're going to have those tough conversations throughout season two. And I'm really grateful that you're one of our first guests on this season. And I love the perspective that you're bringing to it, because like we were talking about shortly before the recording, you have been a paralegal and then you went to be the attorney, and not everybody has those perspectives in the legal industry. And I'm always asked, what's the main difference between the paralegal and the attorney outside the obvious of providing legal advice and, you know, unlawful practice of law. But there are different scenarios where the attorney obviously has a lot more responsibility than the paralegal. So I love that you're bringing that to the podcast and having the audience kind of get a little sneak peek of what that looks like. And I know today we're going to talk about an amazing conversation, which is very important, which is the communication between the paralegal and the attorney. So I'm ready when you are. You let me know, you take the stage, because I know you have a lot to say. I want to give you that opportunity to share that with the audience.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here. And I always like talking to paralegals about paralegals and about the legal profession in general, because I don't think that I would be the attorney that I am today without having had the paralegal background and experience that I have. I really do think it makes me better in my job. And, you know, I think a lot about the training that lawyers get, and I feel like I've almost benefited because I started with the paralegal and then I went to become a lawyer. It's like doctors when they go through their residency. I feel like that is the path that I took, and I can't imagine it being any different. And just a little background about myself, my first paralegal position was in the United States Army. And so I was a military paralegal for 6 years out of the military. And then I was a civilian paralegal after the first year in private practice at a mid-sized insurance defense firm in Louisville, Kentucky. I went to school while I worked full-time during the day as a paralegal, and I did that for 4 years. And so I transitioned after that period in the same firm from a paralegal to an attorney. And that was also interesting because it was like, you know, at one point I was in one role and then, you know, soon thereafter I was in another role with all the same people that I had been working with. And I was with that firm about 9 years. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
So I think I've experienced it from both sides, and I've seen the things that I could have done better as a paralegal, but I also have seen the things that I could do better as an attorney to assist and support the paralegal in doing what the paralegal needs to assist and support me in getting the work done.
Yeah, no, and I think that's why this conversation is so important, because I always say this to the audience, is the relationship between the attorney and the paralegal, it has to be a partnership. It's a team. You know, there is no I in team. You guys have to work together in order to move it forward. And I feel like sometimes the narrative or the perception that's given to these paralegals is that, no, you do whatever the attorney says and you have no voice, which to a certain extent, of course, obviously the attorney has the last decision to make. However, you can place some input and say, hey, listen, I found this, I found that. Like, once you get your feet on the ground and you understand kind of how your attorney works and what they expect of you and what's expected of the role in and of itself, I feel that you can go ahead and provide that empowerment and that inclusiveness within that relationship and create that dynamic, right? Or am I wrong on that?
No, absolutely. And, you know, and I think where the conversation begins is what the expectations are. Because I think that different paralegals, it's just like every other professional. You have strengths and you have weaknesses. You have things that you learned and things that you didn't learn. It depends. I was in insurance defense. It was litigation. And so I did a lot of document review and discovery. And prior to coming to that firm, I was in the military. I was a military paralegal. I had never done litigation the way you do in civil litigation. The only experience I had with trial work was with the Code of Military Justice, and we did court martials. And that's more of like a criminal proceeding. And that's different in the civilian world versus the different in the military world. And as you know, criminal law is different than civil law. So my background was completely different than the role that I found myself in with that very first paralegal position. And the conversation I had to have with the attorney and the whole legal team when I started that job was what the expectation was. And I loved that position because it had a lot to do with sorting and organizing documents. It had to do with reviewing documents, summarizing depositions. And I mean, those are not difficult tasks. When somebody sits down and says to you, this is what I'm trying to do, this is what I need you to fill. And so, it took a little bit of time, but I think that having that baseline conversation about what it is the attorney expected, what did they need? And the other thing I liked about the attorneys that I worked with is they gave me context and explained to me what the task I was doing and how it fit in the overall case. And so I think that that's really important. And we had Monday morning meetings with the whole team, and we actually talked about cases and we gave updates about where we were and what we were planning on doing and getting done that week. So if I got an assignment during the week as it related to one of those cases, I had a pretty good sense of where we were with the litigation, and I had a pretty good sense based on the assignment I was given, what piece I was responsible for and what I needed to do in order to move that project forward.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I do a lot of law firm consulting where I have to bring in the team together. A lot of the inefficiencies throughout the firm is because they have no idea what part of the factory they are, right? You know, let's think about it. Yes. Back in the industrial era where you created this massive product, but everybody had to put a piece on it and you didn't even know what the product was sometimes. So sometimes it's really nice to have those conversations, place the team together, whether it's now in this new world of virtual, whether it's through a Teams or through a certain software, you know, that can provide you with that assistance in order to create that, oh, okay, I'm that piece of the puzzle. This is what happens before me and this is what happens after me. And without me, this is not going to be able to be accomplished in a certain way. So I feel like, again, right, the whole subject is communication, where the whole team as an entire team, not just the paralegal and the attorney, have to get together and really create that narrative for the case so that the case can actually be successful, right?
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
That's amazing. I love it. So you wanted to talk about a little bit how to provide directives, right? Because I think this is the most crucial when the attorney is providing a directive to the paralegal and how that's handled and how better we can, create a better, less in the back and forth.
Yeah. And you know what, I think it's what's important and what I learned, you know, having been in both the role of the paralegal and the attorney, when you have a communication issue, communication is a two-way street. And it's not always the attorney's problem, and it's not always the paralegal's issue. You know, if there are communication issues, to some extent, it falls on both parties to do a better job. And so, like I was sharing with you, I try to be reflective in terms of my style and to receive constructive suggestions about how I could do better. And my team has sometimes told me I have a tendency as a lawyer to overwhelm somebody with information when I'm providing a task or an assignment. So one thing that I try to do is I try to break the assignment down. And, you know, and I try and make sure that people understand when I break it down like that, it's not because I think the person with whom I'm working is not bright or doesn't understand, but I know that it's a lot of information. And I just want to make sure that we are on the same page as it relates to each step. Because if I just give a whole bunch of steps and then that paralegal goes off and attempts to do what I want them to do, and then they come back, they could be wasting a lot of time because we could have a miscommunication about what it is that I want. So I think it is very important at the very beginning to set the tone for the relationship. And you had kind of said this at first, you have to, as a paralegal, feel comfortable with the person with whom you're working to be able to say, I want to ask questions. I need to be able to understand the directions you're giving me. And, you know, we need to have a conversation where you're allowed to keep back to me what you think, maybe in your own words, what I've been asking you to do to make sure that we are on the same page.
Yeah, and deadlines, right? We were talking about timelines and deadlines. Everything in law has a deadline. There's no way that we don't have any deadlines. The court either sets them, the law firm has a timeline for this case to be, you know, if not, it's going to lose money if we don't settle it or, you know, come to some type of an agreement by a certain X amount of time, especially with like personal injury law and family law where there's minor children involved. You know, we always have these massive deadlines and everything's an emergency. I feel like sometimes we're firefighters trying to put out fires left and right. And when there's multiple, like we were discussing before, when there's multiple attorneys providing one paralegal, you know, numerous directives, it can often get overwhelming, like you were discussing earlier, about how to really manage all that. So having that communication is crucial, not only with that one attorney, with all your attorneys, if you have multiple attorneys that you work with and work for, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I think too, at least for me and what I've tried to do with my legal assistant and the paralegal I work with, is I try and talk with them about what my calendar is for that day. Because if they have got questions, there are better times than others to ask. And so, like for instance, if we've got multiple projects going and I'm, you know, not that I'm doing this anymore, but when I used to write briefs, for example, and it had to get filed and you had the brief deadline, don't come in and ask me about this other project when I'm in the middle of trying to do the brief, because I am not going to be the person I want to be in my response to you. You know,
you're only human.
or I will not be paying enough attention. And it's almost like, you know, when you have an adult and a child and the child comes and they pick the right time to come ask you because you'll say yes, just to get you out of the room. So not to, you know, not to to offend anyone, but I mean,
right.
Timing thing. And it's I know myself well enough to know that when I'm not a big person in multitasking, I'm into monotasking. And what I mean by that is you have several projects that are going, you know, on at the same time. And the paralegal and the legal assistant are the people that are helping keeping all those balls in the air, so to speak. But when I'm working on a specific piece of one of those projects, I want to give it 100% of my attention. And so it's difficult for me to ask, to be able to put down what I'm doing and to ask a question. That doesn't mean that I don't want to answer questions. It just means we have to talk about timing and when it is best to have that conversation. A lot of times I like to be able to do that like at the beginning of the day, before everything gets started, or maybe in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, or maybe, you know, brief out at the end of the day and say, okay, tomorrow's a big day. Here's what we're going to do. And here's what I'm going to need you for tomorrow. So timing and deadlines has a lot to do with it, because the lawyer's world is driven by deadlines. And you're always going to have competing priorities. And I do like the paralegal on my team. I've got a deputy general counsel. I don't always know what the deputy general counsel has given the paralegal to do. And so what I like the paralegal on our team, she will do what she'll say to me is, okay, Lisa, I'm working on this for Shoal. I expect to be done at this time. Do you, you know, which project should I be putting my focus on? And I'd be like, okay, thanks for letting me know. Shoal's project is right now. Finish up what you're doing there. And when you're done, let me know, come back, and then we'll talk about my project, because I want you to monotask. I don't want you to worry about what I need to do. You need to finish out what but when you're done, come back and we'll talk about what I need done. So
yeah, I'm not a big believer on multitask. I feel like the human brain is just not there yet. We only use a ridiculous minimal amount of our brain to begin with. If we're gonna get, you know, mental with it, if we're gonna get health wise with it. And multitasking actually reduces productivity by 40%. It has been proven numerous times, right? Whether you're texting or driving, whether you know, just like the simple things, you can look at crash reports, you can look at deadlines in the courthouse, why the courthouses are so behind, because one judge can only listen to one case at a time. So it's definitely very upfront and center when it comes to the legal industry, as far as, okay, there's no such thing as multitasking. We need to, you know, make sure we finish something to the extent to where it's complete, right? We don't want to drop the ball, miss a really massive, you know, fact on the argument, or, you know, put in the wrong case law in the brief, or whatever the case may be. There is no little mistake in law. You know, if you file it in the wrong case or anything like that, there's definitely no little mistake in law. So definitely when I hear people putting multitasking on the resume, I cringe. Like, please, please don't do that.
Right. No, 100%.
Nobody needs a multitasker. Nobody needs a multitasker.
And you know, when people get confused about that, it doesn't mean that we don't have multiple projects going on at the same time, but you're focusing on working on one. And what my legal assistant and I have just started to do, which I really love, is I've got a whiteboard in my office, and she and I, well, I will write, you know, all the different things that we're at. And a lot of times my door is open and she'll come in with a dry erase racer, you know, and go, okay, yep, got, you know, so I'm working on this one, but she's on my whiteboard, you know, clearing off the ones she's doing and handling. So it's not that you're not doing multiple tasks, but you're focusing on one task at a time, and you're making sure the other people on your team are doing the other tasks. So multiple projects are getting done at the same time, but I'm not trying to, and I've done this before, I've been on the phone, I'm reading an email, and I'm editing something. That is ridiculous. And I've caught myself where I'm like, I'm sorry, can you repeat what you just said? Because all of a sudden, when I'm on the phone, I'm distracted by what the email says. And I've absolutely not heard anything the person on the phone has just said to me.
Yeah, that brings me to like notifications, right? So when in the middle of drafting or something, especially me, I do a lot of drafting, a lot of legal research, a lot of briefs, like you were talking about, a lot of trial prep. And all that takes time and obviously a lot of concentration, because I'm coming at the back end of it. They're providing me with all this information, and it's up to me to prep everybody and make sure that everybody's on the same page. That is literally my job. So when I put my phone on silent, like I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the notifications. I turn off the notifications on my email. There is no little mistake in law. You never want to do that. And now with everybody being home and all the other distractions that come with it, it's not impossible, right? Because there's no such thing as impossible, but it does draw some difficulty, a higher level of difficulty versus when we were in the office and we didn't have similar distractions. But yeah, that's definitely one of my pet peeves. Please don't say you're multitasking. That's not cool.
Right. And you know, and I think what's important too is to have some kind of, when you're in the office, you turn off the notifications on your email, you tune your phone upside down, but then I leave my door cracked for my legal assistant to be able to stick her head in, and because she's my gatekeeper, because sometimes it's things happen and you have to be interrupted. And you have to take it away. So I can't be totally unreachable, but I try, and it's like a funnel. I'm funneling it through my legal assistant, and she comes in and will do her best to try and decide, because she is the gatekeeper. Decide, okay, Lisa's busy right now. Let me take a message and she'll call you back, or we'll schedule a meeting. But she also needs to know when not to turn somebody away, tell them to have a seat. You know, don't tell the president I'm busy right now. You come in and you say the president is trying to call you. Yeah.
Like everything is an exception, right?
Yeah. Then I pick up my phone and I call him, you know, but so I need somebody who has the ability to help me figure out what's an emergency and if it's not, to keep me focused on the work by not letting those distractions in.
Well, what I'm curious now, because that just opened up a whole another door for me. What do you suggest that, you know, paralegals that are maybe not just coming in, maybe at mid-level, right? And they're just still trying to gauge their role as a, I guess, in its entirety. What do you suggest they do to become that go-to person, especially in a multi-attorney firm where there's, you're not the only paralegal, there's other paralegals that the attorney can go to. I know there's a lot of paralegals that sometimes fight for, you know, the attention of attorneys because that attorney just doesn't have that just one paralegal. They have a legal assistant, they have three other paralegals, just because the law firm is so massive that it, you know, it's the environment, right? It's the nature of the beast. So how do you suggest in a situation such as that, not super traditional, where there's one paralegal and one attorney, how do you suggest that they battle with that?
You know, so it depends on what you mean. So when I was in private practice and I was a paralegal, several paralegals would, for instance, serve a whole practice area of attorneys. And as paralegals, we were eligible for bonus. And so you wanted to make sure that you were getting assigned the work so that you could, you know, and so, you know, when you're talking about fighting for attention, there's fighting for attention because you want to get the work. And then there's fighting for attention because you have the work, but you're stuck and you can't move forward and you're not sure how to get that attorney's attention when there's 15 other people standing in line outside the door. Those are two separate problems and two different approaches. When it comes to being a paralegal who has a billable hour requirement and you have to make sure that you're getting the work in order to meet that requirement, attorneys in that law firm that I was in had the ability to select what paralegal they worked with. And, you know, it all comes to having the ability to form a bond, a relationship, to communicate well, and to give good work product. And so you are going to develop an affinity towards one person because there is oftentimes, because that go-to person, you won't even have to complete your sentence. And they already know exactly what it is you like. And I'll give you an example too with my legal assistant. When she started doing letters, it was funny because I would write all over them and she was just kind of upset because she was like, you know, I'm so sorry, I'm not doing a good job. And I'm like, no, these are idiosyncrasies that I have. You did is not wrong. It's just not my preference. And so what I like about her now is that she knows I don't like to indent paragraphs on a letter, for instance. I don't indent the paragraph. I do a block paragraph, you know, so I like my signature block to look in a certain way, you know. And so now, because she and I have worked together for so long, she knows exactly how I like things to look. And so, you know, if I had multiple people that I was working with, I would go with that person who I'm able to connect with and who understands what I need the quickest. So there's that scenario. And then there's the scenario with if you have a question about an assignment you have, but the attorney is working with multiple other associate attorneys and other, you know, paralegals, and they all have questions and you feel like you don't have access to the attorney. You know, multiple ways. It depends on how you communicate with that attorney. I've knocked on the door and stuck my head in and said, hey, will you get a minute? I understand you got these 15 other things. I'm working on this project you asked me to do. I have this question. I'm not going to be able to move forward with it. I'm going to work on something else, but you let me know when you have time. So that's one. Or if you have somebody who has like legal assistant or an executive assistant who's like that gatekeeper, it's also good to them to go to them and say, I understand, you know, senior partner has got a lot on his calendar today, but if he's got 5 minutes in between meetings, please, you know, buzz me and let me know so that I can run down, because I've got this quick question and this is a project he wanted me to get done today, and I'm stuck and I don't want to move forward with it. And so then I use that executive assistant who has access to that attorney.
I love it. I love all those. And I love what you said about, I didn't even think about that. So nice of you to present that as well when you're competing for billable hours, because that has become a really big thing all of a sudden. I know when I was a paralegal, it wasn't very common, or maybe it was just the type of practice of law that I did when I was a full-time paralegal. So that could have been it as well. But I love it. I enjoyed your time with me. I cannot thank you enough for being here and sharing your wisdom. I mean, we can literally talk all day about everything just because you're so knowledgeable. You're just like a wealth of knowledge at this point. And I love, again, that you can bring like both of those perspectives, which is unique, maybe not as unique as everybody thinks, but it's unique in our little circle. So that's kind of what, you know, grabbed my attention about you and who you are. And of course, I've attended several of your speaking engagements, which if you haven't checked her out, please do. She's phenomenal and amazing. And just like you see her now, she's always like this, very down to earth. But they can find you on LinkedIn. That's how I found you. You're also on Clubhouse, on several groups there. So I'll add all the links and everything to the descriptions, but definitely if you guys need to reach out to her, she's there. Thank you so much, Lisa. Yes.
Thank you.
Have a good one.